Echo and Harper Audio present Citizen Outlaw, One Man's Journey from Gang Leader to Peacekeeper by Charles Barber. Performed by Adam Lazar White. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Oscar Wilde. Author's note. The narrative that follows is William Outlaw's individual story, which brought him from New Haven to prisons around the country, and finally, a return to his hometown. This account is not a definitive history of the Jungle Boys gang, nor a social history of New Haven. For purposes of privacy, many of the names of individuals and certain identifying details have been altered. Prelude, September 24th, 1988. William Outlaw saw, through the faint glow of the streetlights of Church Street South, a man approaching him. He would learn later that the name of this man was Sterling Williams. The man came closer to Outlaw, and Outlaw could see that this man, Sterling Williams, was stocky. To Outlaw, who was 20 at the time, the encroaching man appeared to be in his 30s. "I'm here for June Boy," Sterling Williams said. He spoke with a Jamaican accent. June Boy, Williams' middle name, was also his street name, and what everybody in New Haven called him. His full given name was William Juneboy Outlaw III. Outlaw said nothing to the man. He just examined him further. But he felt for the revolver in the deep pocket of his cargo pants. As Outlaw surveyed the interloper before him, it was 1 a.m. and unseasonably warm in New Haven, Indian summer. Outlaw was sitting on the hood of an abandoned car, an old Ford, holding court, as usual. He was surrounded by 5 young men, teenagers mainly, and all members of his gang, which was called the Jungle Boys. The young men circled around Outlaw wore Nike and Adidas sneakers, camouflage pants, and green t-shirts, for green was the official color of the Jungle Boys, and the more prosperous among them wore gold chains. They stood on the edge of a run-down and densely packed housing project known as the Jungle, which Outlaw had selected 3 years earlier as the base of his criminal operations, the perfect place from which to deal cocaine. As Outlaw spoke, his gold-plated front teeth flashed under the streetlights. One tooth was engraved with the letter J, and the other with the letter B. As he sat on the hood of the abandoned car, the various members of the Jungle Boys listened to him attentively. Outlaw was their indisputable leader, renowned equally for his loyalty to them and his viciousness to rivals. For most of the members of the gang, which numbered about 40, Outlaw had represented their meal ticket out of poverty, which was pervasive through large swaths of the city, especially among young black men. Virtually all of New Haven's factories had long since closed, and being selected by Outlaw for the gang was for some of them like winning an unexpected lottery. There was something irrepressible about Outlaw, a quality of complete self-possession when he talked to you. It was as if no one else in the world even existed. As Sterling Williams stood there, and Outlaw gripped his gun, wondering what he would do next, the night air was almost misty. The occasional car drove by on Church Street South, and there was the faint rumble of traffic from Interstate 95, a quarter mile away. Outlaw and the Jungle Boys had been expecting a fight all day. Outlaw had heard earlier that day that Sterling Williams or someone like him might be visiting. There had been rumors flying around the jungle that there might be...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?